Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Have you ever attended a high school reunion? Later in the program, we talk with author Susan Santangelo about her latest murder mystery, Class Reunions Can Be Murder. But up first, we discuss the arts for everyone. For decades, the Cape and Islands have been a mecca of sorts for artists, but until recently, there wasn't an organized effort to include people of all abilities into the art community. The Cape Cod Collaborative Arts Network, or Cape Cod CAN, was founded to provide access and inclusion in the arts, music, and theater arts for the Cape's growing population of people with disabilities. Jim Hurley is the managing director and founder of Cape Cod CAN. He joins us in the studio this morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
So Jim, what inspired you to create Cape Cod CAN?
Well, I have a grandson who was injured when he was 6 months old. He's now a brain injury, and he is now 8 years old. And Rowan has always inspired us. He's loved music, and he still inspires us with his spirit, which has been indomitable despite his injuries. And I had retired and was looking for something to do other than play lousy golf. And I happened to go to a brain injury meeting here, actually at the Catuit Center for the Arts, the Southeastern District of the Brain Injury Association has a regular meeting there, to volunteer. And when I said I had some background not only in business but theater as well, the fellow sitting next to me, who is known as a brain injury survivor, young man, said, "Gee, I was at the in a play at the community college a few years ago, and it really helped my memory, my self-esteem. And here we are sitting in a theater building talking about the impact of the arts on people with disabilities." And it was like the aha moment.
Yeah.
And so from then we started getting people together and talking to groups. And from there we went on.
So. Wow. And so the organization, relatively new, right? You first,
yep.
It was about a year and a half ago?
Year and a half ago, mm-hmm. Yeah. This all happened, I think, in December or so of the year before last. So.
And you mentioned your grandson has a brain injury. So
yeah.
is this organization geared to folks with intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, both?
Yes,
yeah.
All of the above. We're
great.
Really trying to engage all of the groups on the Cape who are working, and others outside the groups as well, who are working with people with disabilities and the people themselves. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So that's going to be quite a job, getting all these, in letting everybody know you're here and then coordinating with all these different organizations.
Yeah, it's been a lot of footwork, I will say, and groups getting together and talking and a lot of meetings and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
yes.
And imagine a lot of excitement around
Absolutely.
It as well.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I think everybody's excited about
it. So your first program was a staged music review last January at the Catuit Center for the Arts. It was Broadway and Beyond, and that sounds like quite a challenging first endeavor.
Well, we tried to make it simple, but it wasn't quite so simple as it turned out. But we had eight different groups involved, eight different organizations on the Cape, and we originally thought that if each one of these took a Broadway show of some type, and we named it Broadway and Beyond to allow them some leeway in
yeah.
what they'd called Broadway shows. And worked on that for a while and then brought them together into a combined show, it would be fun. And we put a little storyline around it, coming back from the future to see Broadway, which the year was 2045. Broadway had gone dark, and a grandfather and his granddaughter come back to see the shows, which allowed us to go light on costumes and also to have other people on stage who might help the folks.
Yeah.
And it turned out pretty well. It came together miraculously.
So how many people did you have participating in the show?
We had about 90 people, eight different organizations, 90 people in the show. And it was just marvelous. We had scheduled the show originally to be performed twice, Saturday night and Sunday afternoon in January. Those sold out, so we
great.
We opened our one and only dress rehearsal on Friday night at half price to folks, and that sold out as well.
Wow.
But even more so, it was just such a wonderful show, much more than we ever anticipated. In fact, we were a little nervous about it, to be honest with you,
yeah.
but it was spectacular. It really was.
So this is, and you're dealing with all ages. This isn't just children,
yep.
just adults, everybody.
Pretty much from teenagers up mm-hmm. through 70 years old. We had one woman who kept telling us she was 70 and this was her first show and all this
yeah.
other kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I imagine for those who took part in this on stage, this was a really exciting time for them. But and the audience obviously sold out. So this was, everybody seemed to be pretty. Please.
Absolutely. I mean, we had a number of wonderful, wonderful comments back. For example, it was at Catuit Center for the Arts, mm-hmm. and in their quarterly publication, they said that this was one of the most inspiring shows they had ever fielded. Everybody was just overcome with, I'll tell you, we're all in tears doing it mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. It was really a lot of fun. But I'd like to, if I could just give
absolutely.
You one quote.
Yeah,
I have
I'd
a
love
whole
that.
Page
yeah.
of quotes
yeah.
here, but one, this really moves me. One person said, I experienced so many good things. I saw people who tend to be overlooked by society become the star of the show. Mm. Personally, I found it very hard to keep a dry eye, knowing the years of hard work some of these people had gone through just to talk and walk, never mind sing and act in front of an audience.
So, wow.
I mean, yeah, that's the kind great. Of thing we were dealing with. Yeah. Still chokes me up.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. Yeah. So, and then you've done some other things that we had with the Beatles at Riverview. That was more of a somebody performing for your group, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We had Tom Kelly, who's a local performer on the Cape, who also got his, I think his master's degree in some type of music in Liverpool, England. So he's an expert on the Beatles and has all the videos and stories of the Fab Five and all of that. So we had two shows, one in concert with Riverview School. We had a show during the day for their students, and some of their students actually were
part
helped
of the show.
A little bit of the show. And in the evening, we had that for the Cape Cod Can folks and friends. So,
that's fun. Yeah, you also have something I noticed that you're working on that looks really interesting, and this is the Veterans Program of Video and Writing.
Yeah. We've got one of our fellows who is a veteran of Vietnam and a writer, and he has been working with the folks at the VA and in Hyannis, and mainly on writing. But one of the people there, a former captain in the Army, has something like 12 to 15 hours of film from Iraq and Kuwait that she took. And we've looked at that, and we're trying to figure out if we can use that and some slides and some of these stories to make into a performance. I will say we're a little early on in that, but it's probably a year or so.
Sounds like you're dabbling in a little bit of everything. You've got the theater stuff, art, writing, film, and video. You've got, it seems like a lot of things going on. How big is your staff?
Well, it's pretty tiny. You're looking at us with some volunteers, obviously. Yeah. We're sort of a virtual group. But we say we're dedicated to providing opportunities for people with disabilities in the visual, literary, and performing arts. So all of the above.
We're talking with Jim Hurley, who's the managing director and founder of Cape Cod Can, the Cape Cod Collaborative Arts Network. Our toll-free number, if you'd like to join our conversation this morning, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So, Jim, how are you funded?
Through grants, through donations, that type of thing. We've had several fundraising campaigns. We are under the fiscal sponsorship, I should mention, of VSA Massachusetts. And if I could just take a second to tell you about them.
Yeah,
VSA is the state organization of arts and disabilities. They were VSA, the organization itself, they're part of a larger organization that's actually international, founded by Jean Kennedy Smith, sister of JFK. We went to them to provide us coverage, if you will, as a 501c3 corporation, so we can act as a non-profit charitable organization, take donation, tax-deductible donations, and go for grants. Mm-hmm. And that's been the source of most of our resources to do these programs.
And you have a website as well. We're going to put a link up on our website so people can find you, because that's one of the things. Like you say, you're sort of virtual, so you don't have an office that people can go to.
No, not yet.
Yeah. And so the way a lot of people are finding you is through your collaboration with a lot of these other organizations.
Our name is Collaborative Arts Network, and that's just it. We're working with 13 different agencies currently and talking to others as well.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to tell you who those are.
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I could just list them. Yeah. Currently, Brain Injury Association of Massachusetts, Capabilities, both their Hyannis and Eastham campuses, CAPE Organization of Rights of the Disabled, CORD, Community Support Associates, CSA, Esprit Partnership for Independence, Habilitation Assistance Corporation, HAC, LIFE, which is Living Independently Forever, both our Hyannis and Mashpee folks, Independence Farm, Palamon House, Planet Network, and Riverview School are the ones we currently are working with.
So right now, Cape Cod Can is in the midst of an 8-week program titled Art is for Everyone. It links over 100 students with local artists to create art around the theme, Art is My Music.
Right.
And also joining us in studio to talk more about the program is Tessa DiAgostino, Artistic Director for Cape Cod Can and a teaching artist. Good morning, Tessa.
Hello.
And Jennifer Stratton, teaching artist and one of with this program. Good morning to you, Jennifer.
Hi.
All right. So Tessa, tell us more about Art is for Everyone and your goals for the program.
Well, the goal is really to bring everyone together and give them access to the arts and have an opportunity to share their work with the community at large and the public and their family and friends. And the Art is My Music theme is a great theme for students to be inspired by music and create art from their inspirations. Mm-hmm. I think the theme itself is very interesting. We've had it open to interpretation. You know, music itself tells a story through lyrics and sound that creates moods and feelings, while art is something that's very visual but provides the same thing, story. Mm. And that story can be told through color and shape and evoke a feeling, or that story can be told through imagery.
Mm. I love that way you said open to interpretation, because isn't that what art is all about?
Right,
Is their interpretation. And Jenny, as I said, you're one of the local artists in the program meeting with students. Tell us how you introduced the Art Is My Music theme to students and what some of the projects the students have been working on over the past few weeks.
Well, the very first day, what I did was we talked about, you know, what that could mean, and I brought in a variety of CDs, different types of music, and I played them different ones, and they each had like a pile of paper and some drawing implements like pastels and markers and whatever they wanted to use, and so they would listen to the music, and I told them to just draw, or you know, make just shapes, lines, color, whatever comes to you. Mm-hmm. And I would just keep changing the music.
Oh,
and they and that, it was just a good way to start, just to sort of get connected to what that theme could mean, and show the relationship between music and art.
And these are students at Riverview? This is the classroom, or is this outside of the...
I'm actually doing for CORD.
Oh, okay, for CORD, okay.
Yeah, and so that's the group I'm working with, and mm-hmm. and we're working at Capabilities. They offered mm-hmm. their space so that
oh,
we could go
nice.
There.
Yeah, good. And then, Tessa, you're also a teaching artist,
yes.
And you do the classes at Riverview, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about how you've structured some of your classes.
Well, at Riverview School, I currently have 3 classes, 21 students, and we have a 8-week program that we always run 3 times a year during the school year. So I've opened that up to those students, and I have about half of them participating in this particular show, and also working with Life in Mashpee. Mm-hmm. I've really left it very open. I did some similar exercises like Jen had mentioned. But a lot of my students had their own ideas, mm-hmm. and so I really worked individually with each student to help them produce that idea and to make it a reality by getting them the materials they needed and the one-on-one guidance and instruction. A lot of different artwork coming out of it.
Yeah, and we're going to talk with one of your students. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Jim Hurley, the founder and managing director of Cape Cod We Can, and also 2 of the teaching artists, Tessa DiAgostino and Jennifer Stratton. We'll be back and talk with one of the students right after this.
Standing on the corner. On the next Fresh Air, we remember Lou Reed, who died Sunday at 71. We'll talk with Bill Bentley, who was Reed's longtime friend, worked as his publicist, and wrote liner notes to some of his recordings. Join us.
We have Fresh Air for you, afternoons at 1 and weeknights at 10, here on WCAI. Those were different times.
I used to go to the store at noontime, and they'd be sitting there playing checkers. You wouldn't hear a sound there. Everybody was talking with their hands.
The late Sidney Harris of Chilmark, remembering the deaf community of Martha's Vineyard.
They had all kinds of signs there. When a boat was coming in, they'd go out on the dock watching it come in, and everybody knew just how much fish they'd caught and what they caught and everything, and you'd wonder why they were making signs out there on the boat. Had all the information before they got ashore.
You're listening to the Cape and Islands NPR stations.
And that audio through Lindsay Lee at the Martha's Vineyard Museum. This is WCAI.
You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the Cape Cod Collaborative Arts Network, or Cape Cod CAN, with Jim Hurley, the managing director and founder. We also have with us Tessa DiAgostino, who's the artistic director and teaching artist, and Jennifer Stratton, who's also a teaching artist. And now joining us on the phone is a participant in the Arts for Everyone program, artist, writer, and published author, Cynthia Goldberg. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And you're lucky enough to have private lessons with Tessa. You work with Tessa. Have you been working with her for a while now?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And you were also part of the Broadway and Beyond musical performance that we were talking about. What was that like?
That was actually very good, being on the stage and being like able to do all these dance numbers, like the Grease number that we did, and the Grease melody, and able to interact with everybody that's on stage and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I bet. But were you nervous with all the sold out? There was a lot of people in the audience. Were you a little bit nervous or not so much?
Well, I was, and not as much, because I got used to being on stage and talking in front of people, and also dancing as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So, as part of the Art is My Music theme, you created a painting of a G clef. Can you describe what it's like, what that looks like?
Actually, yes. My G clef is like a sign of music for, let's say, like a piano piece type thing, mm-hmm. And I did all different colors that interface into it. If you look at it, there's like a whole different perspective from it. Mm-hmm. And I did a poem to go with it.
Is that the poem that you're going to read for us?
Yes, which I am going to do as soon as possible.
Okay.
And I am an author to a book.
Yep.
As well, which is called The Tale of the Two Cynthias. And I did that through doing my art in collaborative arts, through doing stuff with Barbara Oliver.
Yeah, wow.
And so the point I am going about to read right now is, "Lift our hearts and souls. Peace is love. Heart and soul is what we feel in every way. To love music is to feel hearts in your eyes, and music in your ears. Feel the love with colors flowing into the wind, flying high. Feel the music as you look back at yourself and paintings you sing to you. Mm-hmm. Hear the words with the bells ringing. Hear the sounds of the wind, surrounded by angel wings."
Beautiful. Oh,
that's wow. Very nice, Cynthia. So you've mentioned you published a book titled Tale of Two Cynthias, and it's a collection of your poems and your paintings. Can you tell us why writing and painting is so important to you?
Well, because it creates my mind of feeling good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, it creates to the world. When you look at it, you see the whole nature outside, like the sun, the outside of where the Mashpee Commons clock is. And by looking at the Market Street Bookshop from up here, it seems really cool. And for all the scenery that all belongs to that. And I also do have a poem, again, that I do want to read from the book, which I do in a minute.
All right, Cynthia, why don't you give us one more poem before we have to let you go? So go ahead, give us that second poem.
That's fine.
Yeah. What's this one called?
It's called "I Love Being Me." Let me see.
Okay, you're looking it up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I caught you off guard.
No, it's okay.
It's okay, all right.
Let me just add one thought that I had while she's looking that up. It the value of arts to this community, and this is a quote from one of the groups that we've talked to. "Shared art experiences can build our communities in a way that nothing else can. It's amazing the potential we can uncover when more people are included in the shifts that can participate in the community. Mm-hmm. The arts help us dispel myths about ability and disability."
Yeah, that's so true. All right, Cynthia, go for it.
Are you there?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. "I love being me. I love being me. I can always sing with rings on my fingers and bells on my toes, no matter where I go. I love the world around me. It's really sweet, like birds that tweet. I wish things would get better and not bother me so bitter. I wish for love as an adult, love others, the way you want to be loved. It is unkind to unwind from being a kid. Be wiser and smarter. You need to show it to react well with others. Loving yourself is putting yourself first. Then reach out to others and follow their dreams behind you. No throwing rebound until you shoot a basket. Then shoot from where the stars, your dreams will come true. And then win and say, everyone is a winner. Hopes and dreams and angels will come through.
Cynthia Goldberg, who's an artist, writer, published author, a participant in the Art is for Everyone program. Her book is Tale of Two Cynthias. Thanks, Cynthia, for sharing your poetry with us this morning.
And the book is at the Market Street Bookshop.
Okay, we got that. She's a good self-promoter, good too. Thanks, Cynthia. Good job, right? All right, Jen and Tessa, both of you, as we mentioned, artists and educators. I'm wondering if during this program you've had any moments that have surprised or struck you about either the art that's been created or the students themselves.
Well, I'm always just inspired and surprised by what students come up with. Just seeing their process develop. I have one student that was very inspired by music from Fantasia, from Disney's Fantasia, and had a collection of all these sketches in their sketchbook. 20 different sketches, all in color, and wanted to incorporate those in some way. And, just to learn something like that, the devotion that somebody has to their work, to expressing themselves, and as a teacher, being able to help them take those things and create, a cohesive form with them to share them with others. Mm-hmm. That's been really a gift.
Right.
Yeah, and there's one student in my group who, her name's Morgan, and she has some movement disabilities. And she told me, well, I was actually briefed before that when she's in school and she's in a lot of the art classes, she feels that she can't do anything. The teachers won't let her do anything. They do it for her. There's not a lot of time to let her kind of unfold and to figure out how, to help her to do it herself. So I was told that beforehand. So I was very aware of that. And so just working with her and like researching it and going out and getting like giant markers so that she could hold them better. And like for me, it was such a, I've learned so much. And to see, she's so happy about that. She just, she's doing the art. Mm-hmm. And I'm really encouraging her. You know, it's like just whatever, just splatter the paint, she's loving it. So I think that, for both of us, it's been a real learning experience.
We're talking about the Cape Cod Collaborative Arts Network, or Cape Cod CAN. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Jim, a year and a half or so, like we said, kind of a new organization, but it seems like you've really been accomplishing quite a bit in a very short amount of time. Are you surprised at this really early success?
Absolutely. I think it shows the need. And the other piece I'd like to mention, by the way, is not only the impact on the people who are participating, but on the audiences and the community at large. I think we're all surprised to see the warmth of the reception and all of that, and the understanding that people have when they learn the talents that this population really has and what a value they are to our community.
Yeah.
And that's really been heartwarming to
us.
So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned the need, and you had a New York Times article you the section that you had highlighted where it talked about the need for this.
Yeah, this is actually this past Sunday's New York Times had an article called Welcoming Art Lovers with Disabilities. And in fact, a lot of the article is about things going on in Boston. It's it's more about access to the arts opposed to participation. But one of the things that grabbed me was it says in 2010, 56 million people, or 18.7% of the population, had some level of disability, according to the Census Bureau.
Yeah.
And as the population ages, this is even growing more so.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a term that I love to quote from VSA that talks about those who may not consider themselves in that population as temporarily able-bodied. So I don't know. Right. I don't think I quite fit in that anymore. Yeah. Borderline, but right. I love this.
Yeah. So you said something a couple minutes ago that got me thinking when you said you talked about expression. And for some of these younger kids, young people, you've got all ages here, but where they may have difficulty communicating verbally, their artwork or expressing what's inside comes out in somebody, the song, the music, the art. It really is a great venue for them to kind of get out the stuff that's inside them that they aren't quite sure
definitely,
how to communicate otherwise.
Definitely. It's very natural as a process, as a creative process, to really just connect with who you are from within, almost a soulful level, I see it as, because people are really just immersing themselves in the work. So using paints and color and visual aids and creating imagery really does start to tell a story and allow someone to share who they are, mm-hmm. Shares the energy of that person.
Yeah. Jim, what about training? We've got two of your teachers here dealing with a population, and when we have in the schools, we have teachers who are trained in special education. Is there any certain training that goes along with the arts?
When we were putting together the art program, that was certainly a question. Mm-hmm. Do we have artists? Do they have to be art therapists? That mm-hmm. type of thing. And what we decided to do was that this was not a therapy session, but more for the enjoyment of the arts. Mm-hmm. So we have our artists there, but we also have somebody from each of the groups
organizations
as well to support them
mm-hmm.
for any issues that may come up.
Go ahead.
But what's also been great is that we had a lot of resumes coming in for the artists that were applying to be teachers. And we were really fortunate enough to find a group of people that all had a background in art and teaching, and a lot of these individuals have degrees in art therapy or some sort of training mm-hmm. in therapy or experience working with different populations. So we really couldn't be more happy with the mm-hmm. team that we've got yeah. working together.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing great things. So did you want to say something, Jennifer? No. Okay. There's 12 different groups participating throughout the Cape, but the program will culminate with a group exhibition November 9th at the new Atria Woodbriar facility here in Falmouth. Jim, the public is invited and the art will be for sale, correct?
That's correct. The exhibit goes on for 2 weeks from mm-hmm. starting the 9th, but the opening through the 23rd at the new, wonderful new mm-hmm. facility, 389 Gifford Street
yeah.
in Falmouth.
It's beautiful.
The new Atria,
I've been in there, yeah.
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 And, but on the 9th, Saturday the 9th, we will have an opening reception from 4 to 7. We have roughly 100 pieces of artwork that we're trying to figure out how to hang at the moment, but that will all be available and it will be for sale.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Cash or check only.
All right, we'll have a link to a photo gallery of some of the art created in the Artist for Everyone program, as well as a link to see some of Cynthia Goldberg's art that we talked about a few minutes ago at our website, capeandislands.org. Jim, what's next for Cape Cod Can?
Well, we've been invited back to Kituat, and we're due there next May 16th, 17th, 18th. And this year we're going to, or this next show, we're going to keep the musical review theme, but we're focusing on Hollywood. And
fun.
Our title is Waiting for Oscar. So we'll wait and see what that brings.
Yeah.
We're also looking into a continuation of our art program in the February timeframe, and we've got some great ideas for that.
And I noticed kind of everything seems on this end of the Cape. Any thoughts of doing something a little bit farther
down
the Cape?
Yeah, you're right. We've sort of been mid-Cape and up so far, but we're talking to groups down at the other end of the Cape, or mm-hmm. the outer Cape, I should say, and trying to figure out how we can get them involved as
and
well.
And eventually maybe incorporate the islands.
Well, I've talked to a woman who does theater out on the islands as well, but yes.
Yeah. And then the world.
Yeah,
then the world. There we go.
Taking over the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Any closing thoughts before I let you guys go?
Yeah. Well, we certainly appreciate being here and getting the word out. And you said we'd like to expand to other parts mm-hmm. Of the Cape. So people hearing this, if they're interested, please contact us.
Yeah, let me just, before we go, you've based this on programs that are happening elsewhere in the country. This is happening in other areas.
Absolutely. Some wonderful programs. Two I'll mention that have motivated me. One is the Interact Theater out in Minneapolis, where they're doing art and theater with people with disabilities, as well as engaging professional artists and so forth. And there's another wonderful program going on in Great Barrington, actually. Mm-hmm. It's Community Access to the Arts, CATA, C-A-T-A is their acronym, and they've been in existence for 20 years. Sandy Newman out there and others mm-hmm. are just doing great things. So, yeah.
All right, Jim Hurley, founder and managing director of Cape Cod Can, Tessa DiAgostino, artist and artistic director for Cape Cod Can, and Jennifer Stratton, artist and expressive creative arts facilitator in the Art is for Everyone program. Thank you all for being with us and for the great work you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mindy.